Before we get into the news, we have to talk a little bit more about clavicular. We do have to talk a little bit more about it, what's actually happening in the real world. You know, we're talking about politics. We're talking about the government shutdown, the Middle East. Yeah, okay, like whatever. Now let's talk about what's really going on. Let's talk about, yeah, whatever. Let's talk about what's happening in the real world, okay? Listen. This is important, okay? Before we get into the actual news, you know, the political stuff, we gotta talk about this. As you all know, Saturday was Valentine's Day. For all of the Chads and Stacys that observe, all the Chads and Stacys that actually have affection in their lives, boyfriends and girlfriends, hey, you know, congratulations, all right? Happy Valentine's Day. I really hope you had a good time, sincerely. However, there was something else going on Saturday. We just got to talk about it very briefly. Because Saturday night, Valentine's Day, I don't have any plans. Everybody was saying, because I canceled the show on Friday, they said, he's got a girlfriend, he's on a date, he has Valentine's Day plans. There just wasn't anything in the news on Friday. And I was tired and didn't feel like it. So on Saturday, I'm hanging out, I'm watching a movie, I ordered a pizza by myself. Doesn't get any better than this. Then I go on Twitter. Did you see this clip? We're going to talk about this clavicular clip. And to me, this is just like, this is my ideology, okay? This is my worldview. A lot of people say, like, what are you really about? What are your real beliefs? When are you being ironic? When are you being serious? I saw this clip, and this is my ideology, okay? This is my worldview. Tell me if you've seen it. I actually replied to a few of the clips on Saturday. I'm watching the clip on Twitter. Clavicular is at a bar and he's doing his thing. You know, he's out of prison. He has destroyed the Peter Thiel network. J.D. Vance campaign has crashed and burned into a 6 million pieces. Clavicular undefeated. He's doing his normal thing. He's at the bar. In this clip, there is this girl who is just like enamored with him. She is just giving him the bedroom eyes, totally enraptured with him. And her boyfriend is standing right there next to them. Clav is there on stream, mogging everybody. And this girl, she's okay looking. She is just, like I said, she's enamored. She's giving him this look. It's unbelievable. And the boyfriend is standing not next to the girlfriend, but on the opposite side of Clav. Girlfriend, Clav, boyfriend. And the boyfriend, no exaggeration, is literally begging him not to steal his girlfriend. This guy is begging Clav, saying, bro, please don't take my girl. You have every other girl. It's Valentine's Day. Literally begging him. Begging him not to steal his bitch. And go and watch the clip. Zero exaggeration. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. He's going, please don't steal my girl. You have hundreds of girls. You have goyim in abundance. You have foids in abundance. Please don't steal my girl. We've been together for a year. Have mercy. And dude, the girl is like not even paying attention to him. She is getting the ick. So hard, it's like he doesn't even exist. He's invisible. He's invisible. He does not exist. He's not even there. She's totally enamored. And I guess they were dating or talking for a year. She gives Clav her number. Then she gets with him in the Sprinter van and they take off. And they just take off. They just go out of the bar on Valentine's Day. This is my ideology, okay? And this is my ideology. This is what is happening in the world today. The Middle East, Who cares? Jeffrey Epstein, who cares? Congress, doesn't matter. This is the real world today. Your girl is going. Hey, listen up, pal. I got a newsflash for you. Nice guy, I don't give a shit. Good father, fuck you. Your girl is going. It is the big 2-6, and your girl is going. This is a reality for young men. This is a reality of hypergamy, and this is real. Picture this. You take your girl to the bar for Valentine's Day. Terrible idea to begin with. Why even go there? But he's with this girl for a year, ostensibly. This is the information that was provided. We don't really know that. He brings his girl to the bar on Valentine's Day. He's not even a bad-looking guy, okay? No homo, okay, everybody? But he's not like even a bad-looking guy. It's not like he's a complete chud. Takes a girl to the bar, in walks the destroyer of worlds. The destroyer of worlds, the Kali Yuga, walks in with the ring light, with the live stream, the aura, status maxed, looks maxed, everything maxed, and she's gone. She doesn't even see you, little bro. You're not even there. Hey, Clav, here's my number. And this, by the way, why am I saying this? What is the purpose of all this? This is why all simps must die. This is why simps die and God laughs. Simps make a plan and God laughs at them. Simps purchase a gift, plan a date, an elaborate proposal. God laughs. The universe laughs. She's going. She's already going. Here is the point. All these guys out there, whenever I do my show and they tell me, you know, you hate women. Why do you hate all women? Why are you a misogynist? What's your problem? You're not really trad. You're an asshole. Okay, let me tell you something. Those same guys love to say it's these modern women. Oh, it's all these modern women. It's all these left-wing women. It's these degenerate women, right? They say, it's our job. We need to be better men. We need to lead them. We're the Christian Knights of Columbus. We're like the knights of yore. We're like the knights from the Middle Ages. We have to be better. We just have to be better providers, more affectionate, more sensitive, whatever. If they became left-wing or degenerate, it's our fault. It's a scarcity of good men, which is the real problem. Don't blame the women. It's the man's fault. It honestly doesn't even matter. Because here's the truth. Every woman would drag themselves across 6 million miles of broken glass on fire just for the opportunity to throw themselves at the status maxed, looks maxed Chad. And that's the reality. All the simping, all of the white knighting, all of this kind of stuff that you see, it's all in vain. All these little tricks, whatever. Because in the end, you are just gesturing for a woman who the second that the biologically superior male walks in the room, as Eggy once said in the Black Pill Manifesto, she's gone, okay? You're out there at work providing, she's with 500 football players. It's the way of the world. That's the way it is. On Valentine's Day, no less. Let this be a lesson. So I saw that clip and I was just like, this is just brutal. Go and watch the clip. I replied to it on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, this is like required viewing. Everybody was attacking me for replying. I don't know what the problem is. But I saw this clip and I was just like, honestly, it was like I got punched in the stomach. I was like, this is the most brutal, devastating thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The guy is literally begging her. No, rather, he's begging Clav. The girl, and then, so she's looking at Clav. She is just like, she's gone. And the guy is like, Clav, please have mercy. Don't, you have every other girl. It's Valentine's Day. It's like in these movies, like, come on, but it's Christmas. Don't murderate my entire family. It's Christmas. It's Valentine's Day. Don't steal my girl. And Clav, dude, Clav blew smoke in his face and said, are you begging me for mercy? He's okay. And I'm not simping. I'm just saying, like, what, like, how do you recover from that? It's just kind of like over. I think it's just kind of over for everybody. The guy's literally in Clav goes, are you begging me for mercy? Okay, who is he? Then here's where it really gets good. This was actually my real favorite part. Then she gets on the van. She's in the Sprinter van, and Clav is like, just so disrespectful. He's talking to her. He's like, I don't know, you're like a fucking bitch or something. And she goes, you can literally see the pangs of regret. Pangs of regret, second guessing, doubting herself. She goes, well, I was with this guy at this bar that I've kind of been talking to for like a little while. I don't know. I mean, she goes, maybe if I went with him to the bar, maybe I would have stayed with him. And then all the doubt was just washed away. Then she remembered, oh, wait, I'm in the luxury Sprinter van. Never mind. It's like, dude, it's a movie. It's a movie. It's a movie. And here's the thing. Now, here's actually, so I'm being a little bit funny about it, but this is something that we actually all have to deal with. This phenomenon is something that we are all dealing with. We are all witnessing. We are all feeling things about it.
Excuse me, burp.
I just had a Red Bull before the show. This is something that we all have to deal with, like socially, intellectually. And here's what I'm talking about. I went on Tucker Carlson back in October, and he was treating me like I was some kind of freak because I blame women for our problems. He said that on the All In podcast. He said, I brought Nick Fuentes on my show, and all I did was let him talk. And he revealed that he was afraid of women and hates women, and he's a complete freak. And I knew that was his angle. He was baiting me to talk about women because he wanted to do the thing like Alex Jones did also, where they say, you know, women aren't the problem. It's men and women. It's more complicated than that, whatever. Here's the thing that the Gen Xers, the boomers, this is what you guys don't understand. We are all dealing with the issue of hypergamy. It is real. It is a law of the land. It is suffocating and ever present. And it is only when you see these vignettes, which upon actual reflection are deeply troubling and deeply disturbing, and you would use words like brutal, devastating, severe. It's only when you actually see these vignettes, which I think are very provocative and visceral, do you actually begin to realize the problem. And what do I mean by that? What does it say that a guy is at a bar with a girl that maybe he's been talking to for a year and she literally treats him like he doesn't exist because some live streamer walked in? What does that say about the stability of any relationship? What does that say about the chances of any guy to be in a stable relationship with a woman? What does a guy have to do? And you know me, I'm an incel. I'm not saying this out of desperation. I'm status maxed. I'm famous and stuff. I could probably get a girl if I want to. Okay. But what does it say about your average guy? God forbid, a below average guy. What does that look like for him? For somebody with the looks and the status and the money, they just cut through like a hot knife through butter. This is the definition of hypergamy. For the top 1%, 5%, 10%, it is abundance, limitless. And for everybody else, it's jester. We've all seen the statistics from the dating apps. We all actually are now seeing it live and in person. All it takes is a good-looking face. That's literally it. And you look at a guy like Clavicular, went from zero to hero, was a complete chud, below-average-looking guy, Taller guy, but below average looks. Autistic, so not socially adept. And literally a combination of increasing looks, but also faking some things. Steroids, taping things to his arms to make his sleeves bulge out, putting lifts in his shoes. It's cosmetic, superficial, vain, surface level. And it works. He's got the status, and now the women throw themselves. And this is the reality. If a young, attractive girl is on Instagram at a bar, comes into contact with one of these people from the upper echelon, she's going. She's gone. And without the constraints of shame, marriage, monogamy, morality, this is just the way it is. Haves, have-nots. Very unstable society, very brutal society. And I think that it is the reality. We all have to deal with it. We have to live in reality. We can't be in denial about these things. But there is something tragic here, which is that this really is the implication and the logical end state of women's liberation. This is a logical end state of feminism. And what is feminism and women's liberation but the logical conclusion of individualism and liberalism, rationalism? Once you start to say that women are individuals too, and women should have rights, and women should be educated because women are people, and they're rational, and they need to get educated until age 18 so they can get a job in this industrial economy. All of this follows from that. It all flows from this. And we get a society that is basically devoid of any kind of stability, order, genuine love, affection. Now we just get this, I don't even know what you would call this. I don't even think it's a society at all. It's sort of a very sad situation. And here's sort of the tension that I feel. And it's sort of interesting. Clavicular believes in lookism. And lookism is the idea that looks are the only thing that matter. Why? Because if you have good looks, then you will be sexually successful. If you're sexually successful, well, really everything flows from that. You'll be socially successful. If you're socially successful, you'll be financially successful. Okay, it all kind of flows from this sort of thing. And so if the key in our society is just looking good, well, then everybody should devote all their resources to grooming themselves. Everybody should devote their time, energy, and resources to vanity, grooming themselves, this sort of thing. And Clavicular's taken that to the logical conclusion, the logical extreme, and now the world is his oyster. And it's sort of funny how now people are looking at this and they're sort of laughing at it and people are sort of deeply concerned about it. You know what's interesting, though? Nobody was concerned about it 10 years ago. When the lookism ideology came on the scene, it existed in internet subcultures of sexually unsuccessful losers. It was incels. It was ugly men. It was the uglier races. It was broke losers, bald men, fat men, retards, autists on forums reporting their experiences and saying, like, this is the new law of the jungle. This is the way of the world. In other words, when women were in control of this arrangement, when women were brutal, turning men down, rejecting men, doing all this kind of stuff, it was a big joke, right? If you were on the forums talking about how looks are the only thing that matter and we should invest in grooming and people were trying game, pickup artistry, that sort of thing, well, they were a laughingstock. They were losers. That was for idiots. That was for people that aren't normal. And yet, it was still a very brutal situation where women were extracting resources, women were going for the 10%. They were engaging in hypergamous behavior. 10 years later, now it's sort of like men are catching up in a way. It's like Clav is the revenge of the men. Okay, we want to play the lookism game. Well, what if we use peptides and steroids and injections and all these things to become that top 10%? And now Clav is disrespectful. He's a whoremonger. Now he is a brutal and severe person. Now you see women being called ugly to their faces, being called fat, being called a bitch, whatever. And I guess what I would say about it, like I said, the tension is I'm sort of rooting for him. You'd like to see women now on the receiving end. You'd like to see the tables turned where women are getting bitched and smacked around. They acted like whores. They acted like superficial and dismissive and all of that. Now they're on the receiving end of it. You're sort of rooting for it. It feels justified. On the other hand, you say this is an arms race where nobody wins. This is a race to the bottom where actually nobody wins. And what we really get is a loveless society that is completely vain, completely superficial, based in contempt. And I would say that even if our conception of sex and love and romance in the old days was a pretense or an elaborate ritual, or you could even say people were naive for believing in it, it's preferential to have that pretension than to have this brutal, raw, naked display of, you know, what you're seeing in these live streams, which is that it's all just about these genetic signals, physical signals. It's all just about, you know, your jaw. It's all just about height. It's all just about ratios, things like that. And I'm not knocking him. I'm just thinking about, I think the reason it is such a, it is such an object of curiosity right now is because I think people feel very deeply about what they're seeing. I think it's affecting how people think. When people see these live streams, it's making us think about ourselves. It's affecting the story we tell ourselves about ourselves. In other words, when you see somebody that is kind of embodying vanity and shallowness, just sort of going all the way and embracing it, being so successful, I think everybody's looking at themselves and saying, should I be doing this? People are ordering peptides. People want to look smacks. People want to drop 10 pounds, get a leaner face. And I think that's why it is such a sensation, because it's very evocative and very personal. And anyway, so those are just some thoughts about what I saw this weekend. Very slow news day, so I'm being a little bit self-indulgent, but I saw that on Saturday and I'm like, wow, like that is my ideology. The Valentine's Day cuckening is just like hard to believe it's even real. But anyway, I do want to move on. I want to talk a little bit about this government shutdown. And I know you don't want to hear about it. I know the Rumble boomers hate it. All the comments and all, whenever I talk about this at the beginning of the show, the Rumble boomers totally revolt. And they say, that guy's on meth. That guy's on drugs. Why are you talking about this guy? I think it's very thought-provoking, to tell you the truth. People don't want to hear about it, but this is legitimately the next stage and kind of the fulfillment of lookism discourse. This is a major discursive advancement when we look at lookism, when you look at inceldom, black pill, red pill. There is a very clear through line from Elliot Rodger and Alec Manassian and the pickup artists all the way through to Andrew Tate in 2022, all the way through to this. It's a very clear through line, and you can roll your eyes and you could call it gay and you could say whatever you want to say about it, but there's a reason that it's such a sensation. And like I said, that's because it's deeply evocative and it's very personal. You know, how people feel about themselves, how people feel, you know, compare themselves to others. This is clearly having an impact on the young people. And maybe you don't believe it. If you're an older guy, you're like an old fart that's already dead. You're in the end of the male life cycle. You're married. You're in a sexless marriage. You're a loser. You know, you might roll your eyes and say, oh, well, guys injecting peptides, that's really dumb. It's like, okay, but you know who the audience for all this stuff is? It's teenagers. The audience for all of this is young boys and girls, actually. Teenage boys and girls, college-aged boys and girls. They're all watching this little soap opera. It is affecting them. And ignore it at your own peril. Don't pay attention at your own peril. I'm telling you, sums up there. It is a phenomenon. I view it in a very similar vein that I view Donald Trump, Andrew Tate. It's easy to sort of say it's a flash in the pan. It's edgelording. Oh, that's just this. It's just that. No, I don't think so. I think this is something.